Hey, Trey here. Two things. First, I'm not sure if you know it, but Us and Them was honored with four Associated Press Broadcasters Awards, including one for excellence in public service through journalism. Second, it's the time for the Spring Pledge Drive at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And if you value the work that our Us and Them team does in telling the stories about the things that divide Americans, would you consider making a pledge of support to West Virginia Public Broadcasting? You can call or text to 1-800-RADIO-87, or you can go online to WV Public and find the little red button at the upper right-hand corner. And when you pledge, let them know where you live and that you're a listener of Us and Them. Doing this would be a big help for our show and the other great programming at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And thank you so much. Hey, it's Trey here. If you've been following along for the past several weeks, Us and Them and West Virginia Public Broadcasting has been collaborating on this Red State, Blue State project with KCRW in Los Angeles. Every week, I sit down and talk with my friend Cherry Glazer about how the folks in Southern California and those in Trump country here in West Virginia might be able to better understand each other. And we're going to keep this up until the midterm elections. And those elections are fast approaching. Republicans from Texas to Appalachia are campaigning on a common theme this week: closing the border, building the wall, and stopping that migrant caravan from Honduras. Fear of illegal immigration is now a key message, and that's the topic for this installment of Red State, Blue State. We start with Vice President Mike Pence, who was on point this week at a campaign rally in Bridgeport, West Virginia.
Turn that caravan around, or American financial aid to Central America is over.
I'm Cherry Glazer at KCRW in Santa Monica, California.
And from West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Trey Kay, host of the Us and Them podcast. And Cherry, I was talking to voters at that Mike Pence rally last week.
I bet you were. They sounded fired up. I mean, you could hear that room explode when he talked about the migrant caravan.
Right. And immigration certainly was on their minds.
But Trey, I got to ask you, West Virginia is about 2,000 miles from the U.S.-Mexico border. Why is this issue motivating voters in your neck of the woods?
Well, for some people, I think it's the fear of the unknown. Joyce Jennings, a woman from Preston County, she put it this way.
In my little town, we know everybody in West Virginia. We know everybody. These people come in here, you don't know them. You don't know what they're capable of doing or what they are going to do. It's just hard.
And as soon as those words were out of Joyce's mouth, I think she knew how that sounded. But I also talked to Chris Updegraff. He's a former Californian, and he moved to West Virginia about 20 years ago. And he said that illegal immigration affects him here in West Virginia as much as it did on the West Coast.
It affects jobs everywhere. And when it's done without a control system in place, then it affects a lot of different industries. It affects health care. It drains on the system.
It sounds like those folks in Preston County, you know, Chris and Joyce, that they don't see an economic upside of immigrants, because a lot of people are going to tell you there is an upside.
A lot of people that I spoke with, even here, far from the border, see immigrants as a drain on resources and that they take jobs away.
Now, in California, it's a different story. I mean, immigrants work in restaurants, as nannies, they start food trucks, gas stations, and other businesses that pay taxes. Here in L.A., by some accounts, one out of every 10 residents is an undocumented immigrant, so they're a big part of the economy. I talked about all this to a woman named Linda Lopez.
I would say that immigrants, regardless of their status, are contributors to the local economy. They are entrepreneurs. They pay into the tax system. If you look at a place like LA, 40% of the people that live here are foreign-born, and 66% of the people that reside in our city are either immigrants themselves or the children of immigrants.
Linda is head of the city's Office of Immigrant Affairs. And yesterday, before you ask, L.A. has one of those. And she says immigrants, both legal and undocumented, play a very active role in the community.
What we know from California is that undocumented immigrants contribute about $3 billion in state and local taxes. A place like L.A., in 2014, about $17 billion in federal taxes are contributed by immigrants and about $7 billion into the city. So they are, you know, contributing to the local economy by creating businesses, by then hiring people in those businesses, and really are the fabric of those Main Street businesses.
That's a huge difference between here and there. West Virginia is more than 90% white. And 99% of those people are U.S. citizens.
Wow.
And as for foreign-born residents, more of them come from Germany than from Mexico. So I think that's got to play a big part in all this.
Now, I need to point out, as diverse as Los Angeles is, some people here do worry about immigration being a drain on the system. We talked with one of them. His name is Darren Hardiman. He's a Lyft driver from Compton, and he worries about his Social Security benefits.
I think we need to do more for the American people. American people need to help more than everybody else coming over, reaping all our benefits, especially after paying into the system for so many years. I worked almost 25 years, and Social Security turned me down, and took me a year and a half to receive my benefits after going to court. I feel that if they don't use all the money to help them, we need housing, we need food supply, we need medical, and they receive all that once they get over here.
But, you know, a lot of researchers who actually crunch the numbers, they say that's not true. In fact, one study found undocumented immigrants across the country pay $12 billion a year in state and local taxes. And that doesn't even begin to include what they fork over to the feds. Plus, they don't use anywhere near that much in services, at least partly, well, because they're afraid to apply for them.
But at that rally, and when I talk to people around West Virginia, the main thing that I hear over and over again, and especially with Trump hammering this caravan thing, is crime and national security.
Even though, again, West Virginia isn't exactly close to the border, right?
Right, but it's a powerful sentiment. Here's Chris Updegraff. He's that former Californian who's now a West Virginian.
I've grown up with a large Hispanic community most of my young life and an early adult life, and they're wonderful people. But we have these MS-13 ones. They're all over the United States now. That's not isolated to just California anymore. They've worked their way up the East Coast, and that's a violent criminal organization. They can come across the border just as easy is a family looking to better their lives.
I spoke with another man, Bill Miller. Now, Bill's a Vietnam vet, and he's from rural Marion County.
I went and fought to protect these people in this country and the ones that came here legally, not the ones that are sneaking in here and doing whatever they want to do. And I personally think that it's the reason they're coming in such a hurry all of a sudden, I think it's sponsored by drug runners. And I'll not believe anything else. Why would they do it? Yeah. Just to cause chaos and disrupt our country as much as they can and our government. That's just like these sanctuary cities.
So basically, Bill sees a conspiracy. And I guess that shows just how much border security is a gut issue for many people.
I think so.
But, you know, Trey, I'm glad he brought up California's sanctuary laws. It's something I talked about with Linda Lopez, you know, the woman LA's immigration czar. Here's what she wanted West Virginians to know about why a big city, just a short drive from the border, would restrict local cops from working more closely with immigration agents.
We're all safer when people feel confident in reporting those crimes in their neighborhoods and reporting them to the police. Local law enforcement should not act as federal immigration agents. Their duty and that their role is to protect and serve the residents of L.A., regardless of their immigration status, and to really focus on the serious and violent criminals. We don't really want those people either in our neighborhoods, whether or not they're immigrant or not. And I think it's created results. We've cut crime by more than half in Los Angeles, and it's due in large part to the trust and that community building that we've created here in the city.
So that's the take from Los Angeles. Now, there are a dozen or so cities in Southern California that do want out of the state's sanctuary laws, but they're definitely the minority.
So when Trump says Californians are rioting over sanctuary laws?
Yeah, no riots here. Now, it seems like the fear of illegal immigration actually is probably more likely to be a big election issue for folks where you are than out here.
Yeah. I mean, after all, at the rally where Mike Pence was warning about the caravan, that was in support of a Senate candidate for West Virginia.
That's right. We are in a congressional election. Hard to remember sometimes that Trump isn't even on the ballot. Thanks a lot, Trey.
Thanks a lot, Cherry. We'll talk to you next week.
Music lifts us up and brings us together, even when we can't get together in person. Mountain Stage brings you live performances on the air, online, and in our podcast. They remind you how it feels to be in a live audience listening to live music. This is Larry Gross, host of Mountain Stage. Find a link to our stations and our podcast online at mountainstage.org.
You've been listening to Red State, Blue State, a collaboration between Us and Them and KCRW in Santa Monica, California. This is one of several conversations that we'll present each week leading up to the midterm elections, and we want to hear from you. If you are a blue stater, is there something about you and where you live that you think a red state voter just doesn't get? And if you live in a red state, what would help someone in the blue bubble understand you better? Would you share that with us? Go to wvpublic.org and search Red State, Blue State, or you can go to kcrw.com/redstateblue state. Let us hear from you. And thank you very much.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
From PRX.